I think it might be a good question for discussion, but not speaking to the HR. So I think it's a good one for me.
I don't know, Adrian. Who am I?
So, the number two is the Cricket Cast. Welcome back.
Yay! Yay. Very good. You can leave the door open because I'm sure some people are coming in. I'm supposed to be known for opening the door of my heart, which is also opening the door of this room as well. Carol, you can keep it open for 5 minutes or something because a few people are coming a little bit late. This is fine. Okay. So, welcome to this meditation day. And how many people have never meditated before? Please put your hand up. Wow! This is your lucky day. So meditation is a very simple thing to do. There's wonderful benefits, and I think you all recognize the benefits of meditation, which is why you're here today. And it is not a case that we are wasting time, but we are creating time, creating health, creating clarity, improving our ability to handle the stresses of life, and it has huge amounts of positive benefits. There's only one negative benefit to meditation, and I always have to warn people about that. If you meditate and you get very, very deep in meditation, you tend to lose your hair. But other than that, it's very good for all parts of humanity. So how we meditate is learning how to let go. Not how to strive, but how to find some peace in our life. And how to find peace in our life, how to relax our body and relax our mind. If you are tense, you are like what I've been saying the last few days, like a guitar string. So tense. You ping it and it makes a loud noise. So little things happen in your life. Now, insignificant things like somebody dying or getting diagnosed with cancer or losing all your money. Insignificant things. And then what happens? Bing, and it makes a big sound. If you really relax, in other words, like a guitar string, which is loose, with no tension on it at all, nothing pulling either end. Something happens in life, and it makes no sound at all. You don't react. You are peaceful. And that is one of the reasons why in life, there's always things happen in life, but we react far too easily, and it spoils our health, our peace of mind, and our ability to respond appropriately to what happens in life. We are very, very unskillful in the way we live. Things which we can't change, we react to. We don't know how to rest. So this is where we find how to relax and rest. And that simile of the guitar string, stress. We have to loosen that string. How do we loosen it? What's pulling either edge, either end of that guitar string? A lot of the time it's the past and the future. You get dragged back into the past. If only I hadn't done that investment. If only I'd have accepted that proposal from that nice young man who I thought would never make anything, and now he's really rich. If only, and all those ifs in the past are a complete waste of time. We cannot know what would have happened if we'd taken another course. All it does, it wastes our energy and stops us enjoying this present moment. And some of you have all people who have done some really, really bad things to you in this life. there's many, many things. I still remember this girlfriend I had. It was the first time I fell in love. Oh, we had such happiness for about 6 months. And then, she dumped me for another guy. Oh, thank you so much, girlfriend. If you hadn't have dumped me, I'd have never been a monk. At the time, you're like, ah, it's unfair. But when it all works out, you find maybe it was all right, after all. In fact, that was really good. So, we can't if the past and wonder what has happened. We can let the past go. It doesn't matter what anybody did to you, you can't change it now, so we're here. Welcome. As for the future, you may be worried about the stock market, about your health, about all sorts of stuff in your life. But, why worry? All the worry can't change things. This, I just reminded of Snoopy wisdom, because it was the year of the dog, and people have been sending me all these lovely quotes from the most famous American philosopher of our time, Snoopy the dog. And he said it very beautifully, some of the sayings, that worrying about the future doesn't stop bad things from happening. It'll happen anyway, whether you worry about them or not. But the difference is, if you worry about the future, it stops you enjoying the present. And you enjoy the present moment. Life when it happens. And then the amazing thing, when you don't worry about things work out by themselves anyway. Usually. So, we don't worry about the future. We don't concern ourselves with the past. We stay in the present moment, mindfulness, being here. And when you are here right now, just be kind to this present moment. Enjoy it. Because it's the only time you have. And a lot of times I wonder, why can't people enjoy this moment? It's because we don't know just how to relax. We're not in our comfort zone when we're not running around solving problems. This is really weird to me, that when people don't have any problems in their life, when life is going very smooth, they usually watch a Korean drama to make themselves worried again. It's really crazy, people. If you've got nothing to do, you create problems. Because we're not used to being peaceful. So in our meditation, we learn just to hang out with some peacefulness where there's no problems, there's nothing to do. And get used to doing nothing. After a while, it's strange. When there is nothing to do, we always try and make something to happen. But in meditation, we learn how to just be here and enjoy the art of doing nothing without feeling guilty, because it's an investment in our health and our happiness, our kindness and wisdom. So here we are in the present moment. So we allow it to be. A lot of times people misunderstand how to make progress in life, in your health, in your happiness, in your wisdom, in your career. We always say we need to do stuff. It's a wonderful thing just to see the way a tree grows. We just plant it, make sure that there's enough water, usually nature does that, make sure it's protected, and it grows by itself. All we do is to have to care for it, to protect it. And that's all we need to do with our body and mind, to care for it, protect it, and it grows by itself. If you don't do anything, it'll all go wrong? No. If you do something, it usually goes wrong. But this is actually where we learn how to let go and have the courage in order to thank God. The reason why people are just so tense is basically fear. Fear of something going wrong. So you have to invest in insurance, health care, and all this other stuff we invest in. I invest in my present moment and in kindness. And that always has really great returns. This is how we become in the present moment. Now, in order to do this, we have these little skillful means. And sometimes to do this by yourself is just too difficult because your old habits take over. Or trying to do something, falling asleep, fantasizing, whatever it is you're doing. But how I'm going to teach this morning is to give a guided meditation. So you don't have to do anything. I do all the work. You just sit there and just let me brainwash you. In a good way, though. Because, yeah, as I'm going to be teaching, that you listen, follow the instructions, and you guide you. And because, you know, I think many people trust me, I've got a good reputation. So, that means that a lot of times people follow those instructions. And you can get into a really peaceful, relaxed state of mind, and also a very peaceful mind. And sometimes, I think last night somebody asked me, now, how did you start meditating? And it was just a guided meditation for 5 minutes. And sometimes you say, how come you got such a good memory? Some things I forget. But this was the first time I meditated. I even remember the venue. It was the Wordsworth Room in King's College in Cambridge. I remember it because those little events which totally change your life. 5 minutes of meditation. Not getting very deep, but realizing, wow, this is peaceful. It had sort of a taste of something which I really wanted to go back and try again and take it further. Just to feel that peace, that freedom, that little first glimpse of happiness. That was wonderful. And that's what I want to give you this morning. A little taste of how easy it is to meditate and how the benefits are just really wonderful, peaceful, and you can feel them, you don't need to believe them. And they all come from you. I just point you in the right direction and you feel it for yourself. So, first of all, are you comfortable? You don't have to sit on the floor, sitting on the chairs is fine, because maybe we'll probably do about a 20 minutes guided meditation. For those of you, Gerald has been one of my long-standing disciples, so he's very smart. He's against the wall, so he can lean back. So if you need to lean back, sit on the floor, you can lean against the wall if you wish to. And make it nice and comfy. And hopefully it's not too cold for you or hot. With the air cons, I'm not sure where those air cons are located, but if you're right underneath it, sometimes you feel just a bit too cold. You can always move around until you can find the best place in this hall here where you can feel comfortable. Now get some cushions if you need some more cushions. Okay, I'm fine. Okay, you can go through the lights. I don't need to do the lights. Keep the lights on. Yeah, so people feel it's not sort of unnatural. So get some more cushions. Find a nice wall. Find a nice place to sit. Well, if anyone does have indigestion, and especially if they've passed wind, can you please sit in the back? Because if you sit in the front, it means there's so many people behind you have to smell. If you sit in the back, there's only the wall that smells you. So that's, and now I know why the people in the back are sitting in there. Here we go. So, get everyone nice and comfy. Excellent. And one of the reasons we can use a cushion, because you find out if you're sitting on the floor, sometimes raising your backside sometimes makes the hips easier, they don't get such a pain. Sometimes you put a cushion under your knees, if you want, under your knees. If you're sitting on the floor, if you've got long legs, you probably need a cushion under your buttocks to raise you. If it's your short legs, you put the cushion underneath your feet so you're comfortable. Just learning how to find comfort when you sit. This is no part of meditation because it's just learning how to be sensitive and kind to your body. Okay, so here we go, we can close our eyes. With your eyes closed, how are you sitting? See if you can be aware of your bodily position. Is it comfortable? If you need to fidget, please do so. This is a kindness. And it's important to create that kindness towards your body and then towards your mind. Because it's an important factor of meditation. And now, be a bit more specific. How are your legs now? One way of becoming aware by practicing mindfulness is to ask a question. You ask your legs, how are you down there? And that points your awareness to that part of your body. You can feel the sensations in your legs. You don't need to give it a name, you just know it. And once you are aware of sensations in your legs, then you ask out of kindness, can I make you more comfortable? For me, I need to adjust my legs, so I will do so. Once you have adjusted the position of your legs, your awareness gives you feedback. Are your legs more comfortable? If not, move them back again. It is the feedback which mindfulness gives you, which allows you to try this, to try that, and through you experience for yourself the most comfortable position for your legs. This means that you can sit without any aches or pains. And then you move up a little bit further up your body to your buttocks. The reason I always pause there is because there's a lot of weight that's been supported by those big muscles. And a lot of times people do fidget because they never begin by looking after that part of the body bearing most of their weight. If you need to adjust the buttocks, please do so. Especially if you're sitting on the floor on a cushion. Sometimes the cushion is too far back, sometimes it's too far forward. So find the optimum position by using the mindfulness and the feedback from that mindfulness until the buttocks are really comfortable. And then we move our awareness to our back. So many people complain of back pains or injuries And much of that is because they were not aware of how they were holding their body, especially their back. If you're sitting on a chair, you can experiment. Try leaning against the backrest. Lean forward, a bit to the left, a bit to the right, and experience for yourself what is the best position for your back. Just what I do, I usually stretch my back when I begin meditation. And just like animals stretch, even kangaroos, I see them doing this, they get a good stretch, and it releases all these endorphins, nature's painkillers, immune system enhancers. It just feels good. And once I stretch my back, and I let it go, let it relax, until it gets into an optimal position. I'm aware, and I care, I'm kind. And then I look at my hands. Hands, how are you? Do you need to be adjusted? And, obviously, today I'm holding a microphone in one hand, so do the best I can. Hands, one hand in my lap, one hand holding the microphone. It's comfortable enough. So you find the best position for your hands. There is no one position which works all the time for all the people. So you find mindfulness, kindness, what works for you. And then you may go to your shoulders. Now, shoulders are a seat of much tension for many people. So I imagine, I visualize my shoulders, the muscles, to be two big bundles of string, stretched, pulled on either end. That is why I visualize stress. Things being pulled apart. Now imagine just letting go of both ends. It's like you let go of a rubber band. So it's now loose. There's no tightness in it anymore. And I imagine those two bundles of strings. I've let them loose. And my shoulders respond. They get relaxed too. This is a wonderful thing with mindfulness. You can focus on a part of the body and see how it can change by letting go. It takes a while sometimes to try this, try that. It is trial and error. And if it doesn't work, try something else. Try something else until you get it. You can learn how to relax any part of your body using mindfulness and kindness whenever you need. Look at my neck. Those people who suffer allergies, itchy throats, having coughs, you can look at that throat and just relax it. You're aware of that feeling. Try this, try that. Until it feels more relaxed. Relaxing to the max. And then I move up to my face. People often say you can read people's emotions from their face. And many of those emotions are negative ones. Fears, anxieties, tiredness. All exhibited on the muscles around your face. So, I'm aware of how my face feels, without judging it, just being aware of those sensations, and seeing what you can do to relax. Relaxing the muscles around the eyes. Relaxing the muscles around the mouth. Along the forehead. If you're aware of that face, the muscles are in your face, the feedback soon gives you the message on how to relax. You feel the face relaxing, open and free, not being pulled or squashed. And that also helps reduce some of the anxieties, fears and worries which cause that tightness in your face to begin with. Now I know that you're not supposed to, according to science, be able to feel any sensations in your brain, but imagine just a couple of inches behind your eyes, your brain. Even imagine what it feels, so tired, exhausted. Imagine it just relaxing, being at peace, like it's resting on the softest of cotton cushions. No pressure on it. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, but a time for peace. And now, your whole body sitting here, relax, at peace, as much as you can. For most people, there will be one part of the body, at least, which is still irritating, sometimes painful, if not just aching or unbalanced. If so, just focus on that part of the body. Just like you open up Google Maps and you zoom in on that one small part of your own body. It could be a stomach, if you have a stomachache, a backache, an irritation in the nose, or itch in the throat, wherever that is, or ache because of some operation, focus in on the most disturbing small part of your body. Once you focus on an irritating part of the body, you see how it changes. If you give it fear, controlling it, getting upset at it, then you'll find that ache, that pain, usually gets worse, gets harder. But instead, that little part of your body which is aching or in pain, if you give it kindness, opening the door of your heart to that feeling, allowing it to be, feeling it like expand, and just as water expands into mist, as it expands further, you get so dilute you can't even see it or feel it. With all the aches and the pains in the body, you can relax until they disappear. The mindfulness, the awareness, shows you if this works or doesn't work for you. Experiment. Trial and error. And you get feedback. Once your body is relaxed, if it's really relaxed, it feels very pleasant, delightful. It's the reason why people go to spas, or they go to a hot tub, or they relax on the beach. with no tightness on your body. Very pleasant. So where my body is relaxed, yours might not be 100% relaxed, but it's good enough to enjoy a peaceful body. The opposite body is really peaceful. Then you can move up into our mind, our mental world, our emotions. And the little skillful means which I have been developing, found very useful, is to ask yourself, how peaceful am I? Or how agitated, restless. And give it a number, just a scale. 1 is really peaceful, 10 is agitated. Now, you don't need to tell me this. It doesn't really matter what number it is, because this is just private to you. But it does mean that you are observing, being mindful, of something I call the peaceometer. The thing inside of you which tells you how peaceful, how agitated you are. And now, just like you relax parts of your body to get the most comfortable, once you have mindfulness of the peaceometer, what do you need to do? To move that needle closer to 1. What makes you more agitated inside? Try remember feedback from your awareness of your own peaceometer. It's only a matter of time before you learn how to create peace in your own emotional world. And it does not matter how healthy or sick you are. It doesn't matter how many problems you have in life or no problems. It does not matter where you come from or what your past is. If you have that peace on it, you soon know the secret of peace. Full of kindness. Letting things be. Letting go and controlling and doing things. Letting it be. Even from the past which creates agitation. You are kind to the past. You soften it. And then it's no longer a problem. The future. There's always some negative thinking this will go wrong, that will go wrong. Be kind to the future. When we're kind to the future, our mind becomes very positive. We can let the future go. So we can relax in this moment. And feel that peace on the time. The needle goes closer and closer to 1. If you find you're getting more agitated, then try something different. Remember, all we're doing is learning how to be peaceful. And if during this meditation you feel you do need to adjust your body, please, your arm allowed to fidget. Change this for chanter. If you need to cough, please cough. You'll find controlling creates tension.
which makes the disease or the irritation worse. Allowing your body to cough means you don't cough as much. And then it may be that after a while you naturally become aware of your breathing. Not that you start to look at your breath, because the breath comes to visit you. You watch the breath go in, you watch the breath go out. Not controlling it, but being like an observer from a distance. You don't need to focus on a part of your body. You know the breath's going in, how it goes in, where it goes in, that's the breath problem. Where it goes out, how long it is, keep it natural. Regard the breathing as your friend, not as someone you own and want to control. Really good friend. See if that creates more peace. More relaxation. Now how does that feel? How peaceful, how relaxed. How delightful is peace. Again, people spend so much money going to spas to relax, or taking drugs, medication to find peace of mind. And here you can find peace of mind. Right in the middle of your own body and mind. Here you have difficulties and problems, but that's for later. Now you are relaxing and resting. See how peaceful you can be. Come very close to the end of this meditation period. How do you feel compared to when you started? Is your body more relaxed? Is your mind more at peace? Now ring the gong 3 times. When the gong finishes sounding for the 3rd time, you may open your eyes.
out of compassion for me, when you open your eyes, can you smile? Otherwise, I have to look at a lot of this. Excellent. So, I go, practice is the most important thing rather than talking about it. Hopefully, for some of you, if you especially haven't meditated before, you'll find out how easy it is to meditate. There's basic teachings of Buddhism, of meditation, about the two different types of meditation. And please don't think I'm talking about samatha vipassana. I'm talking about second noble truth meditation, the third noble truth meditation. Because it's basic four noble truths. And the second noble truth says, wanting is the cause of suffering. So, if this didn't work for you, if you are struggling, it's not that something is wrong with you or the meditation, it's just you're doing the wrong type of meditation. If you're suffering, it means you wanted something. Wanting causes suffering. That's called second noble truth meditation. I don't recommend that at all. Don't want anything, just sit here and learn how to be content. Let go of past and future. Third noble truth meditation, this is the way to nirvana. Letting go of wanting. And letting things be. That is the opposite. That creates a wonderful sense of peace and happiness and freedom. So if you had a very peaceful meditation, some time you've done third noble truth meditation. On the way to enlightenment. Feels good. Feels free. After you come out of the meditation, you go to work, then you can do things, want things, strive and strive, but this is your default state where you can rest and recharge, which is really, really important in our modern world. If you want to be successful, be a high-flying monk. First, whatever you do in your life, this is how you do it. You know how to, when you rest, you really rest. So when you need to work, you can really go for it. This is actually how to be very effective in life. But you all know how to struggle and strive and do stuff. Now I'm teaching you how to relax and let go. Great for your health, great for your career. You know these days, I know that, do you have free healthcare in Hong Kong or do you have to have private care? Both, okay. So anyway, that in the United States, obviously, that it's all mostly private healthcare. And so some of the monks I knew there, they had to have private healthcare, which costs a lot of money. But they had always put down there that they were regular meditators. And they got this huge reduction in their premiums they had to pay. Because it's well known, well proven, that if you meditate, that you have much greater health. The evidence is so compelling that the insurance companies have to lessen your premiums. Number two, many people, they apply for jobs. And, you know, it's amazing just how many people tell me this, even in Australia, that they tell their boss in the interview that they're meditators, and that is a huge plus. Great, you can handle stress. And because it's well known, you know, the evidence is compelling. You can do this. So, even just learning how to meditate, being a regular meditator, great for your health, and also great for your career. You can handle stress without any problems. You just let it go. So, you can even get a whole career in this these days. So many people being sick, stress in the workplace, and they do have, as someone said, happiness officers, people who look after the mental well-being of the staff, even in schools as well, over in Australia and many other places, wellness officers. I still remember an article from, I think it was the Daily Telegraph, many, many years ago, there was the first public schools. Public school means private schools. We have to pay money to get your kids to stay in them. And they were teaching compulsory meditation once a week. It was Wellington Public School. And compulsory, and of course, one of the first schools to do this, they got interviewed and said, why are you doing this? Are you a Buddhist? I said, no, this is nothing to do with religion. Well, why are you doing meditation? Because it's been so well known that it improves our students' academic performance. That's all. And of course it does. So this is something we learn, we can teach others, which means it's very, very positive. Now, one of the reasons I was asked, and very happy, to give this guided meditation, which has been recorded, and please, you know, if you want to get a download of that, if you like that, if it worked for you, download it on your iPhones, so that any time that you want to meditate, and you always find that, oh, when I meditate, my mind wanders all over the place, because you've got somebody guiding you, you'll find that it keeps your mind focused. So it helps you to start meditating. It is the same reason why if you ever have to sort of get your driving license, before you actually get your license, you have to, you know, train and then pass your driving test. But when you're actually training, you always have a driving instructor sitting right next to you in the car to make sure you don't crash, you don't kill anybody. And it's always next to you telling you what to do. You know, just change the car, slow down, do it this way, do it that way. And you need that sort of instruction right next to you the first time you drive a car. Otherwise you would not be able to do it. But after many, many lessons, it becomes automatic. You just know how to drive. But then now people are driving along and they're just chatting about this and just, it's almost, you don't need to think about how to drive. You just do it. It becomes a habit which you learn. It's the same as meditation. It becomes a skill in your life. You need a driving instructor first of all, and that's me or somebody else which you can download on the internet and listen to. And after a while, you don't need those instructions anymore. You sit there and it's automatic. Sit down there and let go. It's not that hard. And it's not as if I'm undercutting the market. If I put all those things on the internet, then no one will come to listen to my talks anymore. You'll all know. I think, yeah, wonderful. Because this is my 67th year. And I was told that in Hong Kong University, you have to retire at 65. Compulsory. So I'm 2 years over my retirement age. But anyway, this is actually how the meditation works. And you can do it anywhere. Please do not feel, oh, if I do it in the toilet, that's disrespectful. I don't care, as long as you get some peace and happiness in your life. I don't care where you do it. You can do it in the pub. You can do it, I don't know where. As long as you get some peace and quiet. It's wonderful to be able to do that, and you see places where you have nothing to do, you can sit down and close your eyes and have some really deep peace. So anyway, now is the time for a little bit of feedback from you. How did that work? Was that easy enough? Clear enough? Very good. So any questions from people before I start? It's great to get some feedback. Just because everyone else says, oh, it was wonderful, you say, not for me. Please ask, because people always seem to be afraid of asking questions. They think my question is silly or it's unique. But when I first started teaching meditation, and especially retreats when people would come and ask me questions, it was weird. The first person came up and said, I have this question about meditation. It's a bit strange, but may I ask it? And I said yes, and then I gave the answer. The next one came in and they ask the same question. And the next one, I've heard that one before. But your questions are not unique. They're shared by everybody. That's why people who ask questions in public, you're helping so many other people as well. Great. There's no such thing as a stupid question. The only stupid people are those who don't ask questions. A sense of hopelessness that you can't do meditation. This is symptomatic of a modern disease. The thing that everyone else is having a good time, but not me. That something is wrong with me. And wonderful thing is, of being a Buddhist scholar as well as a meditator, was to see that there is no one who can't meditate. I've never actually seen a person who is impossible to meditate. And sometimes these are people with schizophrenia, ODD, deep depressions, people who are hard to actually to communicate with, prisoners, psychopaths. There's no one I've ever found who can't meditate. You don't have to be intelligent, you don't have to be average. In the time of the Buddha, there was people were absolutely crazy. This nun, Patachara, her name was. And she, you know, totally broke down, totally lost it. Because on one day, according to this story, she lost her two parents, her husband and her two children. She had no family left. This one day, total disaster. And she went out of her mind to the point that she just wandered into the temple where the Buddha was giving a sermon, totally naked. Now, if somebody wandered into this room totally naked, what would you do? Get out! You can't come in here naked! There's monks and nuns here! Shut up! Be cool! So, what they did, the Buddha said, no, let her come in. And so one of the monks put a robe around her, keep her decent, and she eventually became the most famous Buddhist nun, the great teacher, more disciples than any other. Patachara really is. I remember reading the books and said, I was meditating for years and couldn't get anywhere, and this nun came along, I was enlightened in a week. And that was her. Someone totally crazy became one of the greatest teachers. There was Angulimala, the serial killer. Serial killer. They say 999, but probably 99. And then sort of Buddha ordained him too. He became fully enlightened. So, even people who are serial killers can get enlightened. So, any serial killers here? Don't mind, you're welcome, you can stay. So, the reason is, you can. So if it is that you haven't managed to actually to do this yet, it is because you've been trying too hard. Doing Second Noble Truth Meditation, wanting something, instead of learning to be at peace with yourself. Even little babies. One disciple in Perth told me this story. It freaked her out, but she said it was true. I have no reason for doubt her. Still in hospital with her little baby, and maybe a couple of days since birth, she was breastfeeding her kid, and the kid after breastfeeding crawled on her tummy. Freaked her out. The kid was meditating. And it just, interesting, just after a good meal, felt very comfortable, happy, and just meditating on mummy's tummy. We've got truth. I love stories like that. Because they're a challenge. A little kid can do that. So, the reason is because it takes a lot of time to teach people how to let go. If you haven't heard this yet, you are closest to me, so can you see the, let's see the bottom of my cup? Okay, you have to stand up then. Can you stand up? You see the tea in the bottom of my cup here? Yeah? You can't. There's tea there. Yeah, no, but you can see the tea there. Okay, that's important. Keep standing up, please. Because, are you an honest lady? Because be absolutely true here, don't exaggerate. Is this tea still, or is it moving? Moving a bit, okay. So why is it moving? It's because I'm not paying any attention. I'm now going to be mindful of the tea. Has it stopped moving yet? Not yet. So I'm not concentrating. I'm now going to concentrate. Has it stopped moving yet?
Not yet.
If you try meditating like this, trying to hold your mind still, you'll never be able to achieve that. It's a very simple way, if you haven't seen this before, of how to get this liquid perfectly still. You put it down. When you put it down, oh, they can't sit down yet. Now, can you tell me if that liquid is perfectly still? It is. There's no way in the world I could hold it that still. I let it go, put it down, and then it gets still. Thank you so much. A big round of applause for my assistant. Very good. So, I make that statement by a visual example, just to make a point. The only reason why people don't have stillness is not that they are not good enough. It's not that you can't do it. You haven't got the message of how it's done. How it's done is, instead of holding it, when are you going to become still? Come on, become still. Stop moving, stop moving. I can't do it. You learn just to let things be. Put it down. There is a very deep saying from the Visuddhimagga. This is a great commentary on meditation. He says that the path is, but no traveller on it is seen. In other words, meditation, the path of meditation, is so easy when you don't do it. When you vanish and let it happen. So you just disappear. In other words, you let things be. You just observe and don't get involved. It becomes peaceful all by itself. Patience, obviously. After a while, everything slows down and stops. That is the most amazing, wonderful thing about meditation. That it goes against ceasing in a totally different way. Because everything in my life, before I started meditating, I did. I was responsible for, I worked hard, struggled, and eventually got there. Yes. But if you try the same thing in meditation, trying to achieve it, trying to win it, trying to get it, you'll find it's counterproductive. Just more of the same in your life. Doesn't matter just how hard you try in life, there's always something more to achieve. O levels, I said the other day, O levels, A levels, then you get a BA, then you get an MA, then you get a PhD, then you get another PhD, and then you get a prize. There's always something more. Wealth, yeah, you get wealthy, then you get more wealth, and then you get the number 10 on the wealth list in Hong Kong, and then you want more. This life is crazy. You always want more, and that struggle is endless. But if we just learn how to be who you are, happy with what you have,
the material world, but we don't really live in that. We haven't matched our emotional development. The ability to enjoy. Even, I'm a Buddhist, but I know enough about Christianity. They always used to say that one day a week, you took a rest, you didn't work. Nowadays, 7 days a week. Yeah, you're not in the office. You're doing some work somewhere. Cleaning up the house, taking out the kids, doing something shopping. Work. We don't know how to relax and rest. And some of the Buddhist cultures I used to be in, some of the laziest people in the whole world, and I admire them for that, were some Laotian people. To give you an idea, some anecdotes about Laos. Before, you know, old times, before it was taken over, there was a, you know, the Vietnam War, and one of my friends was actually in Luang Prabang, the second city, during the Vietnam War, and he went to a little cafe for lunch, you know, one of these. It's bamboo and thatch, totally unhygienic. It would never pass health and safety in our modern world, but the food is delicious. You know what I'm talking about. So, he went there for lunch, and he noticed at the table next to him were the government soldiers, the loyalist soldiers. And they had their M16s against the wall. Never happened there. And then he almost dived under his table and he saw the Pathet Lao, the communist troops, come in. This was war. So he didn't know what to do. But before he could dive under the table, the enemy troops, the Pathet Lao, they just went to another table. There were no guns against the wall and ordered their lunch. It was in Laos, war. Always starts for lunch. And that was true. There's nothing lovable. Just that war anyway. Just that war, you know, keep it sort of, you know, refined. Lunch is more important. But they can never take anything seriously because now to the old days I'm nothing for that. So anyway, this is actually meditation. It's learning how to relax, to be a bit more lazy. It's good for your health. It's good for your work. But don't look guilty about taking time off. It's great for the budget of Hong Kong. You don't need so many hospitals. It's bad for the funeral partners and the divorce lawyers. They don't like it because there's not so many people. And it's wonderful for having a really peaceful, happy time. So one thing which my master Ajahn Chah always used to say, we meditate to let go. Not to attain things. So you're letting go of stuff. Letting go of controlling, wanting, learning how to be. And just be kind to yourself. You're good enough. You don't need to change. That's one of the terrible things about modern life. A really challenges self-improvement. If you want to improve yourself, you're in the wrong place.